Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's high time. We had a high time together. Together. Yes, it's high time. We had a high time together.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. I spent 24 hours on Texas soil, as my Joycey Bear would say. It was like the solo amazing race. Public transportation, 3 airports, a lift from friends, the borrowing of a car, and a 2-hour drive to the funeral. I come squealing in the funeral home, and guess what? I was the first one there. I found it so amusing that I'd traveled halfway across the country and beat everyone in my family to my grandfather's funeral service. My family was actually just a few minutes behind. The local VFW chapter had served lunch. Al Pierce, my grandfather, joined the United States Navy when he was 17 years old. After basic training, he was sent to Bremerton, Washington, in Kodiak, Alaska, where he worked in the Naval Hospital for 2 years until his enlistment was up. Al was discharged on December 24th, 1948, and was awarded a Good Conduct Medal and a World War II Victory Medal. During the Korean conflict, he re-enlisted for 2 years with the United States Air Force. Al always enjoyed hanging out with his buddies at the VFW, and our family was grateful to share in that camaraderie. I ate the to-go plate of cold brisket, beans, and potato salad that the family had packed for me on our way to the graveside service. Texas barbecue, hot or cold, is one of my favorite things. I only saw my family for 4 hours, and it wasn't cheap getting there. It wasn't easy, and as sure as shit wasn't convenient. But man, I am so glad I made the effort. Those 4 hours were precious, and it meant everything to physically be there to honor Al's life and to hold space for my Joycey Bear. Some of the most impactful moments in life come from small decisions we do or don't make to show up for someone, to witness their story or struggle, and to hold a safe space for them to move through the loss, sadness, illness, emotional darkness, whatever it might be. Today's guest on the podcast knows all about that. You were introduced to Ryan Miller on podcast 79. He served the Marine Corps on active duty from 1998 to 2002 as a computer systems specialist. After earning an honorable discharge, Ryan got involved in the anti-war movement, then Marching for Black Lives, and then Standing Rock, North Dakota. He's also spent 5 years in veteran suicide prevention, first with Harborside Heroes and now Operation EVAC. I'm so grateful to Ryan for sharing his story of battling the darkness so he can live in the light, and how he's helping other veterans do the same using cannabis, meditation, and fellowship. I think it's so important for us to take a look at what happens with our veterans when they come home from war. And this is an important story to tell. It is an important story to share. And I hope you get something out of it. So settle in. It's time to get casually baked.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but I better just take one.
Ryan Miller, I'm happy to have you in the studio with me today.
And I'm equally as happy and excited to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, you are a good big talk partner.
Let's do it. I'm fired up.
I know, right?
I don't do small talk so well.
Well, I know. That's why it's been so long for me getting you in the studio, because every time I see you at an event, you're talking to someone and I don't want to be a bitch and go interrupt. And so then I'm like hanging out. And then I look up and you're a ninja, you're gone. And then I spot you again and you're in another deep conversation. So at the Mary Jane's, the Women of Weed, I think I put the hammer down.
Yes. And thank you for that. That was a fantastic event, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, Tali did an outstanding job with that.
She did. And I think I even recommended on an earlier podcast, that people do a screening in their own community. I think it's great for newbies.
That was a great film.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from it. The military part was a little heart-wrenching, but that's normal for me.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
So you are the founder of Operation EVAC, and this is it's educating veterans about cannabis. Mm. And so what inspired you to start that? Tell me a little bit about your story.
Well, thank you for asking. After high school, I joined the Marine Corps. I was stationed in Okinawa, Japan. From there, I deployed to Brunei, Bali, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Hong Kong, Thailand, Australia, and Korea twice.
And I feel like we could make a rap out of that. Maybe back burner.
It flows kind of nicely, doesn't it? And with all those countries and all that experiences, notice I didn't mention Iraq. And notice I didn't mention Afghanistan. And those are the top two places everyone asks about after I self-identify as a veteran. And so for my 20s, basically, I allowed that lack of combat experience to inform me of a sense of an unfulfilled military experience.
Interesting.
And that led to the darkness. Comfort eating, depression napping, alcoholism, excessive pornography usage, failed careers, failed relationships, obesity, 280 pounds.
What?
And I had an experience where at the same time, a girlfriend left me and my Xbox 360 broke.
Oh,
I was devastated, right? And you know, instead of getting a new Xbox, I got a gym membership. And through a process I later learned was called transmutation, channeling negative energy into positive activity, instead of reaching for the donut, I reached for my sneakers. Instead of laying down for a nap, I went out for a run. And over time, my clothes fit better. I felt better. And when negative feelings did arrive, I had a positive coping strategy to deal with it. And so I arrived at a certain level of healing. And at the time I was working at Harborside Health Center, and the co-founder, Dave Weddingdress, asked me if I'd like to start a veteran support group. And at the time I was dating a PhD, and we had already kind of discussed some programming. So I felt prepared for the opportunity. And so we did that for 2.5 years, and we called it Harborside Heroes. And so that was the first iteration of Operation EVAC. And I'll always be thankful for Harborside for incubating this this program that we have.
Nice. So you had a stint with veteran suicide prevention.
Mm.
Is that something that you dealt with personally, or it was some – okay, let's talk about that.
Thank you. That's something that's always been an option for me. In my youth, even like pre-adolescence, crisis in the family, crisis at school. Well, if I'm not around, I don't have to manage this crisis.
I always wonder what that mentality is.
Mm.
If I'm not around, I don't have to manage this crisis.
Mm. It's fear-based.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. And the fear of letting people down, right? Letting down my family, letting down my mentors. In the military, it's the biggest fear is the fear of letting down that comrade to your left and your right. And so, at this time, about 2013 around, there were a bunch of Bay Area veterans that were dying. Kyle Crowley from San Ramon, Travis Layfield from Fremont, Andrew Dang from San Jose, Casey Sheehan from Vacaville, and Pat Tillman was the Arizona Cardinal that left the NFL to join the Army, and he was killed in Afghanistan. And their deaths, their sacrifices really informed me that my pursuit of material and economic success was empty and unfulfilling. And so also around that time, the study of the veteran suicide rate came out, 22 veteran suicides every day. And that statistic doesn't include veterans from Texas or California, which are the top two recruiting states in the country.
So will they not provide their numbers? Why do we not know that?
Because the number would be a lot higher and a lot more shocking, I think, right? So why not suppress those and keep the outrage suppressed also?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those deaths and the deaths of my comrades all over the country really led to more darkness, right? And more, rumination of depression. And, that opportunity that dress gave me to really serve, it really saved my life, right?
Yeah.
Being in the veteran suicide prevention business prevents my own.
Yeah, I can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And it's, even now I still got my toe in the darkness. That light and that shadow is within all of us. And just knowing that I'm committed to my comrades, I'm committed to this community that we've curated, really takes that option off the table for me.
Well, and so now tell me how cannabis plays into this for you. What kind of a role has cannabis played in your wellness and, battling the darkness?
Sure. A couple of ways. First, I'll talk about pre-calculus class at Berkeley City College. This was my third attempt at pre-calculus. I'm not really a math guy. My mom taught me how to read before kindergarten, and I wish she would have taught me algebra. So the first midterm, right, was being handed out. I was sitting in the second row. The professor passed it out to the first row. Now he's in the second row coming toward me, and I feel my heart beating out of my chest. My breathing starts accelerating, getting more shallow. I start sweating. I feel nauseous. I think I'm going to cry and vomit at the same time. And I'm a grown man, and this is community college. I'm a U.S. Marine veteran. I can't be crying in math class.
And pissing down your leg at the same time.
Right. And so in my backpack, I had a tincture made by Internal. They're our flagship sponsor. And right there in class, it's a full cannabinoid blend, THCA primarily. Mm-hmm. And right there in class, I dropped it under my tongue. And immediately, it was like a warm blanket. My breathing normalized. My heart rate slowed down. I was able to focus on the task at hand. And I got an A on the exam.
Well done.
You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
So cannabis has been fantastic. And another short story, I was experiencing some romantic heartache at some point. And I decided to kind of abstain from the herb for the day, kind of give myself a chance to feel. And because I was worried if, I'm using this as like a crutch or anything or something to avoid my feelings. And so I spent the day, in my feelings, and I waited until about 6 in the evening to smoke a joint. And you know what? As soon as I did, I felt so much better. And I was like, what the hell did I wait all day for this for?
Well, and I was actually going to say too, when you microdose, you can feel your feelings deeper and make some cosmic connections that you wouldn't have otherwise. So yes,
totally.
I would have told you to smoke way earlier too.
Totally. And it's just something else that's I've suffered from is social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I'm terrified of introducing myself to strangers. I don't have my name tapes on me anymore saying my name in U.S. Marines. I don't have my rank anymore telling me where I'm at in the social hierarchy. And so networking is tough for somebody with social anxiety. I went to a Veterans in Technology event, and I had to have 3 drinks at the bar before I even approached the group. And so I found with herb, if I roll a joint and light it in public, I don't have to introduce myself to people. People introduce themselves to me.
There you go.
And so it's a great magnet for relationships.
Yeah. I've never had that problem.
Hmm.
I can appreciate where you're coming from. Now, I'm nervous to recite people's names in public because I have terrible short-term memory loss when it comes to cannabis. And so I'm mortified for an opposite reason, networking, because I'll run into people that I know, I fucking know who they are, right. and I cannot recall their name. And so then I'm just flailing and being like, oh, hey, girl, or hey, mama, hey, lady,
right?
Hey, boss, lady. Like, I hate that. Like, I need to know their names.
It's tough. It is tough. And you know, nobody likes anything better than the sound of their own name. Right. And so I think it is also, you know, a demonstration of vulnerability when you do say, hey, remind me your name.
Yeah.
I know your name, but I'm just terrible at these things. Right. And so, because you can try to fake it. Right. When I lived in Japan, I would say, how do you spell your name?
Right? P-A-T.
Right? It would be like Yuki. Y-U-K-I, dude. It's not that difficult. Right. But. So it's tough.
Well, and typically I can just look on Instagram and be like, oh, yeah. Or once they walk away and the pressure's off, I immediately remember their name. So then when I see them casually later, I can be like, oh, hey, Linda.
Right.
I see you over there, Linda.
And one trick I'll do is I'll introduce them to somebody whose name I do know. Hey, I want to introduce you to, right, Joanna. And then they'll introduce themselves when I fail to.
Yeah, so. That's a good trick. Mm-hmm. Sometimes whoever I'm with, I'll say, if I don't say this person's name, it's because I can't remember it. So you have to just go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah. And in Operation Evac, we'll wear name tags. And a lot of the times I'll just leave it on throughout the day. I think life would be so much easier if we just had a name tag on. We wouldn't have to struggle with that anymore.
Or instead of... We could have the name, but I would also like a little smiley face series. So we kind of know what we're walking up on. Like, are you having a great day? Mm. Are you having a shitty day? Because if you're having a shitty day, I'll approach you differently and I'll make sure I do what I can to raise your vibration. Mm. You know what I mean?
Like
let me help you.
Sure. And I think, if we spend enough time with folks, we do get an understanding of that vibration,
yes.
how they're feeling, how we can kind of complement that, or especially not make it worse. Right?
Yeah. Are these some of the things that you're teaching the veterans in your class, like how to engage and have these kinds of interactions?
I think, sure, just that I try to set the example as well as I can, but really they learn from each other more than anything. The social interactions teach them how to behave socially, what's going to be acceptable in a group, what's going to be unacceptable in a group. And, military folks are direct communicators. And so we'll let you know if, you're encroaching on our boundaries.
Yeah.
And so, I can't take all the credit is what I'm saying. It's the community that.
So talk me through what one of these sessions is like. I mean, do you get together for... is this a weekly thing? How often do people commune?
So at this time, we meet 12 times a month at 5 different cities in the Bay Area. And it's a 90-minute practice. The first hour is a guided discussion. We'll sit in circle and swap sea stories. And the intention here is to form positive narratives about our experiences, avoid the veteran as victim mentality. Mm-hmm. So I'll pose a question that I've come up with and I'll be the first to respond. And my job as a facilitator is to get as vulnerable as possible, right? Talk about my time in the darkness, talk about ripping off my toenails to cope, talk about premature ejaculation and just as deep as I can go. Right, because what that does, it gives the listener permission to reciprocate with vulnerability. And through that, we create community. And that's where the magic happens. So we'll go around, everyone will respond. My largest group, I have over 70 troops show up.
That's so awesome.
It's profound and it's so abundant. And it's tough to manage to get folks to pass the microphone, right, in that hour time frame. And it challenges me to kind of limit or expand the scope of the conversation to support that. And we make some magic happen in these testimonials, and it's beautiful. And some folks don't choose to speak depending on the topic. And you know, just to honor them and acknowledge that for holding the space is important for us too.
Absolutely.
So after the hour discussion, I'll distribute compassionate, complementary cannabis products. The affordability of cannabis is a primary concern for veterans. Absent VA coverage, often on fixed incomes from disability. And I'll educate about the safe consumption of these products. And we all know about the person that had the bad edible experience and then never came back to cannabis from it.
Right.
And so trying to avoid that as much as possible. And then we'll meditate. I rest Yoga Nidra. It's a 20-minute session. It's delivered by Jane Leonard. She's a fantastic comrade that I served with at Harborside.
And she is one of my girlfriends, and I love her so much. And I had her on the show. She did a little session with us on the podcast.
Jane Leonard and iRest Yoga Nidra changed my sleeping life.
Yeah, her voice is a dream.
I used to have to use a girlfriend or the internet to go to sleep at night. And when I tried this for the first time, you know, I got in the rack, I turned the lights off, I hit a YouTube link, and the position that they invite you to be in is called Savasana. Lay on your back, heels touching, feet fall naturally apart, arms by your side with your palms up. And that's not normally how I sleep. Maybe like fetal position, maybe big spoon if I'm lucky. But yo, I woke up the next morning and my chin was on my chest and my palms were still up.
Wow.
Didn't move at all.
And
so, and to empower myself to sleep without any sort of external sources of stimulation was fantastic. And so the hour discussion will often laugh and sometimes cry. Mm-hmm. In the Yoga Nidra meditation, we'll sometimes snore. And so as a facilitator, if I can hit all three of those boxes in a 90-minute practice, I'm like, hey, gold star, let's get an ice cream cone.
Right. Yeah. I love that. What if somebody wants to replicate this where they live? You know, I know you talk about all this stuff is open source.
Right.
You know, being a good human, it's open source. But to me, it seems like it's delicate, you know? And so I feel like there should be some sort of instruction or, you know, are you doing something to help roll this out?
Thank you for asking about this. And yes, intentionally. And we've been operating for almost 3 years and I've been facilitating nearly every conversation myself. And I'm allergic to scalability if it compromises quality. And I have identified a candidate that I'm super excited about. His name is Alex De La Campa. He's a Navy veteran, special operator. And I met him at Harborside. He came to Harborside Heroes once. And then we reconnected on the bus to Standing Rock, North Dakota for the pipeline protest.
Nice.
I stayed out there for a week and he stayed out there for a couple months. And so he's demonstrated so much commitment to our community and he's demonstrated so much growth out of his time in the darkness. You know, this man, you know, trained his whole life really to be a Navy SEAL. And when an injury robbed him of that opportunity, you can only imagine where that can take you. And so to witness so much transformation in him and so much commitment to himself and to serving our community, I couldn't be more thrilled to have him aboard. And so we've attended peer support specialist training in Chicago from the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance. We've attended this home front training by the National Alliance for Mental Illness. And we attended yoga teacher training, mindful resilience for trauma recovery given by the Veteran Yoga Project. And so, yes, with these trainings, we've developed a program to expand. And once we get Alex on board with the dispensary in San Jose, in the South Bay, we will have demonstrated scalability and start rolling this out to a city near you.
That is very exciting.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. No, just veterans in every community.
Yeah.
And we're all seeking community and recovery from our experiences.
This is where we receive.
Mm.
You're doing a wonderful thing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. It's a privilege. It's really a privilege to have found my path and my purpose. It's a privilege to serve this plant and my people. And for me, you know, as a descendant of colonizers, it's important for me to handle this plant with integrity. Right? The curandero, the curanderismo are the indigenous folk healers of this land that healed their people with these plants before colonization.
Yeah.
And so it's my responsibility, it's my moral obligation to serve these people in this land.
And I think that's a conversation that would be fun to go deeper on in another podcast.
Podcast 81, perhaps.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about compassionate cannabis. Mm. And so I'd like to bring up SB 34. You are more versed in that than I am. I saw you speak at one of the fundraisers for it. So the compassionate cannabis tax bill has been reintroduced as SB 34, and go.
Thank you. You know, I voted for Prop 64. I advocated for Prop 64 because for the greater good. You know, troopers in Tennessee and Alabama and Wisconsin and Utah are depending on California to lead. And I knew that it put my business model at risk. And I was confident that through organizing and through advocacy, we could change it. I prefer to work with progress than work against it. And so last year was SB 289 by Senator Wiener, and we cleared the House nearly unanimously, the Assembly nearly unanimously, or the Senate, excuse me, and the Assembly nearly unanimously. And I was in Chicago for that training, and I was under the bean, right? And I prayed, and I thought I had a conversation with Governor Jerry Brown, and I thought that we arrived at an understanding. And so I was devastated when he vetoed the bill.
Yeah.
Like, it made me realize how exhausted I am from this advocacy work, for it to just
go away
at the stroke of a pen. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, I'm an activist, and I considered self-immolation.
Wait, what does that mean?
Setting yourself on fire.
Shut right? Like, the front door.
Like the monk in Vietnam protesting the Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. That's the exact visual that came to my head.
And so what's it going to take, right, to understand how important this is?
Not that, ever.
Right.
Just making sure everybody listening, we're all on the same page here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And right. So I'm super excited and grateful that, as you know, Senator Wiener reintroduced, along with Nancy Skinner, who's co-sponsoring under SB 34. And I'm excited to get back to work. I'll be going to Sacramento tomorrow, getting back on this horse. And really, it's a privilege. It's a privilege, and it's my responsibility. You know, veterans get a lot of attention in the chambers of City Hall and state legislature. And so it's my responsibility to elevate the voices of my comrades and to members of the community that I care about.
And so the meat of SB 34, what would people be voting on?
It would enable partnerships between compassion programs and cannabis dispensaries to store, track, distribute compassionate cannabis. It would also reduce the tax barriers that create barriers to compassion.
Sure.
Right? There's huge liabilities. If you want to donate product to me, you're going to have to pay taxes on that. And it's irrational. Right.
And so for the newbies listening, compassionate cannabis is free cannabis product, free flower for people who need it and can't afford it, or they have, maybe they're suffering from, AIDS, or they have PTSD, they're a military veteran, and this is something they're going to need for the rest of their life.
Right.
And that is an expensive call. And so compassionate cannabis allows these people to get natural medicine.
And that's a big part of the culture of cannabis in California. Brownie Mary Rathbun and U.S. Air Force Vietnam veteran Dennis Perrone created reputations for themselves giving away cannabis in the Castro to primarily gay AIDS patients in San Francisco. And you know, Brownie Mary died in a retirement home for poor people. Right? She gave away dozens and dozens of brownies every single day. Right? And Dennis Prohn is like our patron saint of compassion in California. And so it's carrying their torch, right? We're standing on the shoulders of giants in this compassion world. And it's a privilege for me to carry that for Dennis, who's no longer with us.
And to just make sure that people know that it exists. Because I feel like if you aren't in the cannabis world, of course you would want this, but you don't know that you want this. You don't know what you don't know. And so that's why it's important to have conversations with people in your community and be the cannabis Sherpa that tells people that compassionate cannabis is a thing and that we really need to get out and vote for SB 34. So
totally. You
know, these are the ways that we can help make the world a better place.
No, thank you. And you're absolutely right. And creating the awareness is super important. That's why I'm so thankful to be here. You know, Luna Stauer of Jetty Extracts sponsored us to go to Spain just recently and go to the International Cannabis Business Conference and Spanibus. And
that's awesome.
Share our story with folks, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of these folks are entrepreneurs and tech people and don't necessarily have compassion on their radar. And so to share our stories, to be in those rooms with these people that are creating this industry to ensure that, you know, we have this convergence of the suits and the sandals, right? Mm-hmm. The suits are the tech and the finance folks, and the sandals are the hippies and the smugglers that have traditionally supported this market. And so, you know, my job is to ensure that while the sandals and the suits are together, we're not forgetting about the boots. We're not forgetting about the troops, the around 4% of the population that wear the uniform that serves in one of the most violent countries in the world to support all of this.
Yeah.
Right? And so while folks are getting head starts on going to college or starting their businesses, we're out there PTing and killing and dying, right? So that folks don't have to.
Yeah.
And so the entire cannabis community has been overwhelmingly, abundantly generous in their support of us. And our mission wouldn't be possible without the village.
Yeah.
Right, to welcome us home.
I love that. So you talking about that just makes me think about these veterans who you are watching their lives change. So, you're the one that's doing this work. So you're seeing these same people week after week. Tell me some of your favorite success stories, some of your favorite veterans.
No, thank you. We'll call him George. George is a Vietnam veteran, grew up in Detroit, and his first experience with cannabis was in country in Vietnam. The first day he arrived, they got raided, a mortar attack on their compound, and his sergeant handed him a joint. He could tell that he was nervous and afraid. Mm-hmm. Sergeant handed him a joint and said, smoke this. And he said it immediately helped him, right, manage himself and manage the circumstances he was in. He attributes cannabis to bringing him back home safely. And so recently, through the money that he's been able to save in getting free cannabis from us, has enabled him to get his teeth fixed.
Oh, yay.
Right, and get his smile back and be able to eat the foods that he's missed. And so another quick story is we'll call him Philip. Philip isn't a veteran. Philip is a civilian that suffered from severe child trauma, abuse, neglect, genital mutilation. And when I met him, due to, he wanted to get involved in our group, I had a decision to make. Was I going to make our group exclusive to veterans only or inclusive and invite civilians to join us? And it was a tough decision. And ultimately, I decided to allow him to join us. And that alienated some veterans. Some didn't come back. And it was the best decision I ever made in terms of how we operate. Because I witnessed this gentleman, he would look at you, if he looked at you in the face, it'd be like you were the sun. Because normally he'd look at his feet or he'd look at the sky when he communicated. Mm-hmm. And now he's got a girlfriend, first time in his 40s. He's practicing speaking at Toastmasters.
Nice.
He spoke to our group recently, right? And so it's the best decision I made. And it's fortified due to three principles. Firstly, veterans can benefit from learning to communicate with others beyond just veterans. Secondly, you don't have to be a veteran to have PTSD. Capitalism takes care of that for a lot of us,
true,
especially women and communities of color. Lastly, if we're ever going to avoid war, civilians need to learn about the veteran experience.
Yes.
We've been in Afghanistan longer than Vietnam. How come? Right? Where's the anti-war movement? Where's the protesting? It doesn't exist. Why? Because there's no draft. It's not a shared sacrifice. It's not a shared risk. It's really just the low-income folks that are going. Folks from single-parent families, right? Folks from poverty, trying to escape poverty, trying to grasp and clamor for this dream, American dream of upward social mobility.
Them and people who it's heritage.
Mm. And heritage is something that I'm interested in too, right? My cousin is going to retire after 30 years in the Marines this year. My grandfather also spent 30 years in the Marines. And of course, their experiences influenced me to join. And so I'm also interested, are these things family traditions or is it also intergenerational poverty that has a factor, right, in these decisions to join?
Yeah, and my only experience is my family and, you know, my few friends. But, you know, I'm from a tiny town in West Texas. So a lot of it, I think, for people there is, what the fuck else am I going to do?
Yep.
And, but like with my family, you know, my grandfather was a colonel in the Air Force. Mm. And so that's my dad wanted to fly airplanes more than anything in the world. That's all he wanted to do. And he was colorblind and they were like, you can't. Mm. And so, you know, dream crushed.
Right.
So it was like, you know, that was what his children wanted. They wanted to go into the military too. So I don't know if it's just in your genes at that point, mm-hmm, or, you know, you drink the Kool-Aid, mm-hmm, or, you know, I don't know what it is, but right, I see it and it's strong.
It's powerful. I mean, and the propaganda machine is powerful in this country. We got flyovers during the Super Bowl. We got the big flag that covers the
end
zone.
Paid advertising.
Right. It's a recruitment
our
tool.
But that's paid advertising from the government, which means, mm-hmm, our tax dollars go into that. So it's not like something that is being done for us to ooh and ah us. We're paying for that shit.
Yep. Yeah.
And I get into fights with my dad over, like, you know, the kneeling thing and military, mm-hmm, involved in sports. And I'm just like, that to me is, it's all the propaganda machine.
Sure.
So.
And to be clear, I take a knee also.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'd be glad to go into that if you'd like to.
Well, you know, yeah. I just think it's fascinating, you know, to see people stand so fiercely on both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I'm concerned, I'm like, there is not multiple sides. Like,
yeah,
we live in a country where if I want to take a knee in silent protest, like,
right,
that's my right.
Right. And, you know, there's always been two sides to the struggle, right? There's been folks that have gotten sprayed with fire hoses, right? Got dogs sicked on them. Got milkshakes poured on their heads when they're trying to integrate the lunch counters. Got berated when they're trying to integrate schools, right? And harassed and harmed and lynched. So there's always been two sides to these conversations. And I know that 30 years from now, when I have to look back on my life, I'll be thankful I chose the right side.
Yeah, it's just like, what can you live with? Because, you know, there are multiple sides to the conversation. Mm-hmm. But to me, there's only one that feels right.
What can you live with, and what are you willing to die for? I think it's an important question, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Death is just the start of the next chapter, though, right? Am I right or am I right?
I agree with you. I think it's really just the beginning, this experience we're having here.
So, you know, cannabis makes us have all kinds of far-out fun conversations. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that we do the veteran conversation justice. So if I haven't asked you something that you think is really important, mm-hmm. that you want to touch on, please do so.
Thank you for that opportunity.
Yeah.
And we've been talking a lot about cannabis. And cannabis is fantastic plant medicine. And there's other plants out there. And I noticed that you have the Michael Pollan book on your shelf, How to Change Your Mind. And that's a fantastic book that I recommend for everyone to learn about other plants. And so I do see cannabis as a gateway substance. But it's not a gateway to methamphetamine.
Gateway to goodness.
And heroin, right? It's a gateway to these other plants like psilocybin mushrooms, ayahuasca, MDMA. And psychedelics have changed my mental health more than anything has.
Yeah.
More than the transmutation, more than living a life of service. Ego death has enabled me to form a different narrative of my life and form the lenses in which I view life and people. And so there's a fantastic film out there called From Shock to Awe that talks about veterans healing with ayahuasca medicine. And so, yes, cannabis is fantastic. Love it. And it's the tip of the iceberg.
Yes, it is.
And so there's veterans out there, if you're, you know, considering whatever you're considering, if you're in the darkness right now, I just want to offer you hope, right? And something that's really helped me be optimistic about life is knowing that when I experience grief, loss, suffering, trauma, change, that there are plants and there are ceremonies and there are healers that are available to help me navigate these emotional experiences. And I'm so thankful.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure to include all of your information in the show notes at casuallybaked.com. And I want you to give me just a little piece of advice for someone who potentially has a job, which I know a lot of these people do, where they can't consume cannabis. Mm. So they can't have the THC in their system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have someone in that kind of PTSD going into their dark place, like what are a couple of little tips that we can give those people who can't use cannabis?
You know, I've been underemployed my entire professional career because I've been afraid to drug tests. I've been afraid of these options for rejection, really. And so people got to make decisions on what's more important to them. Is it their own well-being and wellness, or is it this job for this company that may not have any loyalty to them? So I consider that, right? Consider a career change. Consider a change of living. If you live in a state that's a prohibitionist state, come on over to California. There's plenty of room for you.
Or other places that are cheaper.
Right. And also, like, find your breath. Whatever helps you find your breath through yoga, through meditation, through vigorous exercise, through the Wim Hof method, your breath is what's going to always be there with you. Your life begins at your first inhale and will end at your final exhale. So just finding that breath. When your mind's all out here, when you can't get it under control, count your breaths.
Yeah. And let your breath be your security blanket.
Mm.
Like, you know, you want to just like pull it up close to you and just like.
Right.
like just really take a deep breath in and like, you know, get yourself started, because it's so easy to just hang on to that shallow breathing when you're having those moments of anxiety.
Right. And I think that's another way that cannabis helps us. There's lots of ways to ingest cannabis now. They got transdermal patches and suppositories. And for me, I love smoking joints. And I think it's that breathing exercise, inhaling slowly and deeply, holding it in, exhaling slowly and deliberately. That practice, it's a breathing exercise all on its own.
And I think that is a misnomer that people have about smoking cannabis, where they're like, oh, I'm an athlete, I need to protect my lungs. I have a pretty huge lung capacity and I can hold my breath for a really long time.
Right.
I mean, I do breath work and I do it in the shower so that I can then take a cold shower after. So, you know, I make sure and hold both sides. So in case I hold my breath too long and I pass out, I don't have a huge accident.
Right.
But I have been surprised at how long I can hold my breath.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, that's not true.
I think it's a misperception based on misinformation. I use cannabis as a pre-workout. It expands the dilation of your air sacs in your lungs, your capillaries, reduces the activity of your pain receptors, enhances focus. I can do 19 pull-ups. The most I ever did in the Marines was 18.
I can do 0.9 pull-ups.
Hey, you'll get there. Keep practicing.
Hell no. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I tried to do CrossFit back in the day whenever it was just coming out into the world.
Yeah, how's that?
My best friend called them our homeless workouts. She's like, why are we paying to be on the side of the interstate throwing this medicine ball up the hill, doing pull-ups on trees, that kind of shit?
Yes.
But I just couldn't do that stuff, and there's not a modification. Mm-hmm. And it's just like you keep going through the wad until the time's up or until you get it. And I'm just like, well, if there's not a modification for somebody that's like this, then I don't need to do this.
Sure. And really, you know, exercise has been a fantastic coping strategy for me. I can't really say it enough. To channel the aggression, the anger, the sadness in the rowing machine or in the TRX or the pull-up bar or the medicine ball, right? It's really, it's been a blessing to find, you know, to get out of your head, get into your body.
Well, because, too, there's so much of that misdirected rage and anger on places like Twitter and Facebook. And it's like, stop being a troll and get to the gym.
Right. Release some of that in a positive, creative, productive way.
Yes.
A lot of people take that energy to the bar, right? You know, I've been 3 years without drinking, and it's been the best overdue decision I've ever made in my life. You know, the long-term advocacy goal of Operation EVAC is for active duty veteran access, right? Excuse me, active duty military access. I met the commandant of the Marine Corps in DC, just happened to run into him on the street a couple of years ago.
That's divine.
It was beautiful. And, you know, he asked me what I did in the Marines. I said, data communications. He said, what are you doing now? I said, now I'm educating veterans about cannabis. And I invited him to consider how different his Monday morning would be as a commander if his troops were smoking herb instead of drinking alcohol on the weekends. Right? And he couldn't really encourage me, but he got it.
Yeah.
Right? Because every Monday morning, he gets a report of Marines and sailors doing silly, regretful, you know, damaging things under the influence of alcohol. Right. Exactly. And so when I got discharged out of the military, I'll use a quote that Alex says a lot is, I was a professional alcoholic without a profession anymore. And so, choose cannabis.
Definitely choose cannabis. And so if people want to just, you know, keep up with you, where would they find you on social?
At Operation EVAC on Instagram.
Okay.
OpEVAC.org is our website. Come check us out. Come through. And like I said, if you're listening and you're in the Bay Area, you're invited. Join us. You don't have to be a veteran. You're invited to hold space, to share space with us in community. We need you. If you're a cultivator or an extract artist or a licensed vendor, we need your surplus product. If you're a sound healer, if you're an acupuncturist, if you're a massage therapist and you want to support our community, you're invited to. We need you. It takes the entire village to welcome home the troops. Everybody can do something. And it's really just a measurement of how much you care.
So if people aren't in the Bay Area and they want to help, what can they do?
Our PayPal is ryan@opevac.org.
Okay. Hey, cash is king.
It is, right? And really just help us with this awareness, right? Invite us to your podcast. Invite us for an interview. Write an article about us. You know, whatever we can do to create more awareness that there are other options for troopers beyond the antidepressants and the alcohol and suicide, right?
And be willing to hire veterans. If you see people that are struggling,
right,
ask them what they need. You know, there's the Hi, How Are You project out of Austin. And it's just talking about the importance of just simply asking somebody how they are and meaning it and being authentic and sitting there and waiting for an authentic response.
Absolutely. And that's fantastic. You know, especially employment in the cannabis industry is particularly healing for veterans. You don't have to hurt others. You don't have to hurt yourself. You don't have to hurt the environment to meet your basic needs. And so I'm thankful for companies that do want to prioritize hiring veterans. And I also invite you to consider, like, if you do want to wave that flag and you do want the added leadership and discipline and teamwork of a military veteran, then it's going to come at a premium price also. Like, don't lowball the troop, right? Because we're in a space of desperation, right? Elevate us.
Yeah.
You know, identify us for opportunities in leadership. Invite us for opportunities for equity, right? Not just employees, owners.
Yeah. Right?
We need to be on your boards. We need to be, right, in your senior levels of management. And it's all just a reflection of how important it is to you to have these inclusive practices in your organizations.
Right on. Thank you so much for being here and hanging out with me today. This is a really important conversation, and I've been really excited to talk to you. It felt really good. Thank you for that.
We're just getting warmed up, Johanna. So thank you for having me aboard. Thank you for allowing me to tell our story and to represent all the troops that I got behind me. All the troops that aren't with us anymore. Right? Thank you for allowing me this space to share our story and to give us hope. Thank you.
Whether or not you believe in war, or like the sitting president for that matter, is of no consequence when it comes to the actual lives of the men and women who serve in our military. I hope this dialogue with Ryan has your wheels turning. Check in with the veterans in your life more often. And if you know someone who struggles with PTSD or depression, extend a hand, lend an ear, and a shoulder to lean on, but also empower them with information. I encourage you to share this episode of the podcast with them and start a dialogue about cannabis as a healthy healing option. Only light can drive out darkness. So I wish for you to be a bright, shiny beacon of hope for those struggling in your community. And if you want to add a little light to my life, please consider reviewing the podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. I'm on a mission to get paid for this gig, so sending ears my way is a huge help. Be sure to connect with me on social. I'm @casuallybaked. And as always, there's helpful links and relevant cannabis content waiting for you in the Podcast 80 show notes at casuallybaked.com. We had a hard time together. Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. La Osa is in the house capturing and editing the video version of the podcast, available on YouTube and channel 203 on Cannabis Club TV. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're finding your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.